Today's daf is Yevamos daf Ayin Beis, and we are two lines from the bottom of daf Ayin Aleph Amid Beis Ubamidbar Mai Taim Eloi Mavol. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shleima for Avadya Ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba Ben Devora, Devora Bas Mecha, Shmu Ben Tehila, Elazar Lipa Shalom Ben Feiga Rachel, Sarah Nechama Bas Rus Malka, Baruch Ben Rachel, Malka Miriam Bas Esther, Leah Gittel Bas Devora, and Esther Kreindl Bas Devora. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Elka Bas Reb Yehuda David Halevi. So at the end of yesterday's daf, the Gemara mentioned Psukim in the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, where the Pasuk says that Hashem tells Yehoshua, Asei lecha charvos tzurim, v'shuv moil es b'nei Yisrael shenis, and go circumcise the Yidden. Several psukim later, the pasuk gives the reason. Because all the Yidden that had left Mitzrayim had gotten bris milah before they left Mitzrayim. However, but all the Yidden that were born in the Midbar, they had not received bris milah. Now that the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, 40 years later, Hashem tells Yehoshua, "Asei lecha charvos tzurim, go do bris milah." Additionally, Chazal learned from this pasuk that although Avram Avinu was given the mitzvah of milah, however, when the Yidden received the mitzvah of milah tzimtzveitimol at Har Sinai, there was a very important hoysafa, what we know as priya. How important is priya? Mol v'loy pares amilah, says the Mishnah, ki'ilu loy mol. The pasuk, and really the Gemara would seem to suggest that it was Yeshua ben Nun's chiddush, the concept of priya. Tosfos says it can't be. Rather, all Yeshua ben Nun did was he gave us a pasuk, a Torah shebiksav, that references the concept of priya. But as it relates to the origin of priya, it's not Yeshua ben Nun. It's halacha l'moshe Misinai, Klai Yisrael, when they were mekabel all the mitzvahs, they were mekabel this hayisafa in the mitzvah of milah. Regardless, one thing is for sure, mevur, in the Gemara, and really it's a Mefurish Apostle, and that is the Yidden that were born in the Midbar did not receive Bris Milah. And today's daf begins with the obvious question, and that is, why not? Frek the Gemara, Ubimidbar, my time aloy moho. Why was it that the boys that were born in the Midbar did not receive Bris Milah? And the Gemara says two possibilities. Ibai Seyma, maybe the reason is Mishum Cholsha, because they were traveling, and because they were traveling, it was deemed dangerous for them to receive Bris Milah, and it's for that reason there was no Bris Milah. The Ibai Seyma, or you could say Mishum Dolay Nashav Lehu Ruach Zafaynis, it's because the northern wind, the Ruach Zafaynis, did not blow during that period of time, and again, because there was no Ruach Tzafonis, it was considered to be dangerous, and it's for that reason the Yidden did not do Bris Milah. So why didn't the Yidden do Bris Milah? Because it was dangerous. What was dangerous about it? Either it was Chusha D'Orcha, or it was Mishum D'Lei Nashiv Lehu Ruach Tzafonis. Now we know Shevet Levi did do Bris Milah. So really, once the Gemara says that the Yidden didn't do Bris Milah because it was dangerous, so now we have to flip the question. So why did Shevet Levi, do Bris Milah? So that's an interesting conversation, but regardless, the Gemara says that the Yidden didn't do Bris Milah in the Midbar simply because it was dangerous. Says the Gemara, how do you know that there was no Ruach Tzafonis in the Midbar? The time you were learning to the price, Kol Isan Abram Shana Shal Yisrael B'Midbar, the 40 years that the Yidden were in the Midbar, Lei Nashva Lehem Ruach Tzafonis. There was no Ruach Tzafonis. My time. Why was there no Ruach Tzafonis? Iba Yisayim in Mishum D'Nezufim Havu. Either you could say it's because the Yidden, when they were in the Midbar, they were Nezufim. On some level, they were in Cherim. Rashi says it was a result of the Maisei Ha'egel. And one of the consequences were that the Yidden were quote-unquote Nezufim. When we learned Masechtas Ma'ikatan, the third perek in Elu Megalchin, so the Gemara actually learned or attempted to learn different halachas related to Dine Cherim and Dine Nezifa from the Yidden and their trials and tribulations while they were in the desert for 40 years. Why? It's based on this line in Gemara. They were Nezufim Hava. So on some level there was a Nezifa, and the Gemara says that's the reason they didn't merit the special schus of having the Ruach Tzafonis. Or you could say the Loi Nivdar Anane Hakava. The reason there was no Ruach Tzafonis is because there was a concern if there would be Ruach Tzafonis, it would cause the Anane Hakava to dissipate, and that's a bad thing. The wind would make the clouds suddenly disappear, and these clouds were very important clouds. These were the Anane Hakava, and that's why there was no Ruach Tzafonis. Amar Rapapa, Rapapa said Hilkach. You see from this Gemara that it's not okay, it's a sakana for a person to do bris milah if there's no ruach tzafonis. So here's halacha l'maisa. Yoyma de'eva. Therefore, if it's a cloudy day, v'yoyma de'shusa, loy or if there's a day where there's a ruach deroimis, which is a bad wind, additionally, you shouldn't bloodlet. Why? Because it's dangerous. Meaning, you see from here that before a person does bris milah, he has to take a look at the weather report, and you have to be sensitive to what direction the winds are blowing, and you have to understand everything that's going on. So Rav Papa said that if the Yidden didn't do bris milah in the Midbar for 40 years, why? Because of a ruach tzefoinis that was absent. So you see from here that you can't just do bris milah, but you have to take the element into consideration. But the Gemara says that as much as Rav Papa said it, today you don't have to worry about it. V'ha'idna, today it's fine. Why? And the Gemara says something fascinating, which it says in many places, but this is Exhibit A. Today, the Dashu Beirabim, now that people violate this principle and people do bismillahs, even on cloudy days, even on days when you know there's no Ruach Tzafoinis, Shomer P'saim Hashem, we have a special Shmira. Shomer P'saim Hashem means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches the fools. So that, really, you have to check off a box that you're a fool in order to be Zoicha to the Shmira. So you have, for example, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shomer Ragli Chasidav, the Chasid gets Shmira, Shomer Mitzvah Lo Yeda Davar Ra, right? There's something with regards to people that are doing mitzvahs, but there's also an idea of Shomer P'saim Hashem, that if someone's a Pasi, he gets a Shmira. When people do things that they're really not supposed to do, when they do things against medical advice, etc., they actually, ironically, counterintuitively get a special Shmira from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what the Gemara says. Really, it's dangerous. However, Kivan the Dashu Beirabim, being that people do it anyways, so it's for that reason, Shomer P'saim Hashem, Tanu Rabbanan. So there's two dots here. Really, the two dots could have been four lines from here. All 40 years at the end, where the Midbar Lehoyu Yoim Shalai Nosh Vabai Ruach Tzafoinis, there wasn't a day that they didn't get the Ruach Tzafoinis B'chatzi HaLayla, in Chatzi HaLayla by Chatzoitz. How do you know that? Shenema, the Pasuk says Vayihi B'chatzi HaLayla V'Hashem Hika Kol Bechor. Makis Bechoris happened by Chatzoitz. Makis Bechoris happened by Chatzi HaLayla. No, if Makis Bechoris happened by Chatzi HaLayla, so that means the Ruach Tzafoinis used to blow by Chatzi HaLayla as well. Says the Gemara, my Talmuda, just because Makis Bechayrus happened B'chatzi HaLayla, how is that a makar that the Ruach Tzafoinis would also blow B'chatzi HaLayla? So the Gemara says, Hakam Ashmalon, the Ace Rotzein Milsehi. Long Rashi, but Rashi says that what the Gemara means to say is that you see that Makis Bechayrus was B'chatzi HaLayla, which means that Chatzois is an Ace Rotzein. And if Chatzois is an Ace Rotzein, and the Ruach Tzafoinis is a Dover Shal Rotzein, it's mistaber then that that's when the Ruach Tzafoinis would blow. So when would the Ruach Tzafoinis blow? When it blew, it was B'chatzi HaLayla. How do you know that? Because you see from Makis B'chayrus that Chatzi HaLayla, the Chatzois is an Ace Rotzon, which is a makar to the concept of Tikkun Chatzois. It's a Ace Rotzon. And because it's an Ace Rotzon, it's a time to be Mesabel on Churban Beis HaMikdash, to Davin for Binyan Beis HaShlishi, or for whatever it might be. But an interesting Gemara, the Gemara says Chatzois is an Ace Rotzon. Just one Ha'ara, before we go weiter, and we shift gears and really return to our regular program, which is Ha'oral Lo Yoichal B'Truma. The Gemara says that the years that the Yidden were in the Midbar, they didn't do any Bris Milah. Kol Oysan Arbam Shana Shal Yisrael B'Midbar Lo Nosh V'Lehem Ruach Tzafoinis. And as a result, the Yidden did not do Bris Milah. Remeir Simcha, in a classic Meshech Chachma, says that Yesh Loimah, this is Merumah in a Pasuk. So in all the Psukim at the end of Parashas Lach Lecha, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvah Avraham Avinu with the mitzvah of Milah, the pasuk that mentions the word bris no less than 13 times, Nichrasu Aleh, Yud Gimel Brisai. So in that pasuk, Vayoyim Elikim Avraham, one of these mentions of bris, Hashem tells Avraham, Va'ata es brisi tishmar, Ata v'zaracha acharecha l'dayroisam. This is something you should do for all future generations. So Rami Simcha says, the word l'dayroisam is written chaser. You would expect there to be a vowel here, a vav, right? It's lamid dalid resh sof endemem. There's no vav here. It's written chaser. So Zok Rami Simcha. There's another pasuk in the Torah where the word l'dayroisam is written chaser. And that is with regards to, in Parshas Noach, Vayomer Elokim, Zois ois habris asher ani noisin, beini uveinechem, uvein kol nefesh chaya asher itchem l'doyres oilom. After the Mabel, Hashem says, I'm going to give you an ois, and this ois is going to be a sign that I'm never going to bring another Mabel. What was the ois? We know what the ois is. The next pasuk, es kashti nosati ba'onon, the rainbow, v'hois al ois bris, beini uvein ha'aretz. But this rainbow is going to be an ois l'doyros oilam. Zok to Hilgir Rashi. If you look at the word l'doyros, nichtav chaser. It's written chaser. There's no vavs in the word l'doyros. It's lamid dalid reish sof. The reason is sheyesh dayrais shalay hutzrichu la'ais, because although it's l'dayraisam, but chaser, because there will be generations, there will be dayrais that will not require the ais. L'fish and tzadikim gemurim hayo, because these will be generations where there will be tzadikim gemurim that are going to be present, and the tzadik gomer is going to protect against a mabul. As for that reason, we don't need the ais, because it wouldn't even be nogeya for there to be a mabul. What's an example of such a dar? Says Rashi. I'll give you two examples. K'moy dayrais shel Chizkiyahu melech Yehuda, the dayrais of Chizkiyahu melech Yehuda, where we know Chazal say batku midan vad bersheva. And they couldn't find one child, even a girl, that wasn't a baki in Tumah v'Tahira, and in Yonah D'Yoyim of the Dairish of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and the generation of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Zokter Meir Simcha. So Rashi says that what does the word L'Dairish Chaser mean? It means future generations, but not all generations. That there will be Dairish where that's not going to be the case. Zokter Meir Simcha. V'Yoyim Elikim El Avram. V'Ata Es Brisi Tishmar. Ata V'Zarecho Acharecho L'Dairisham Chaser. This was a remnant is that there would be a dar, there would be a generation where there wouldn't be bris milah. What was that dar? It was the dar amidbar. It was the dar deya, ironically, because it was like nashvu ruach tzafaynes, because of chulshut the orcha, they didn't do bris milah, and it's merumas in the pasuk where it says l'dayroisam chas zok the gemara avait. So the name of the parak is parak aral. The first halacha of the parak, we're literally still discussing the first line of the parak, ha'aral lo yoichlu b'tshuma machloikis. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, what the makart of this halach is? Rabbi Eliezer learned it gzereshava from Karban Pesach. Rabbi Akiva said, it says ish ish regarding a tame that's not allowed to eat chuma. And if ish means tame, ish ish must be coming to be marba. And what it's marba is an aros also not allowed to eat. Says the Gemara, me inyan le inyan, very very much. But oisaya inyan. Amar Rafuna. Rafuna said, var toiro moshuch oichal b'chuma midei raisa. If somebody is moishach his arla, the halacha is he's allowed to eat chuma. So Rashi explains technically what it means that the person was moishach arla. But what we need is there's a concept for a person to do something to himself, just physically, to his guf, which will on some level undo his bris milah. It's what's known as being moishach the arla. Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Loza Amido Yomer, Hamachala Sakachim, Vamavaza Samayadois, Vamalba Pnei Chaver Berabim, Vamefer Brisa Shel Avram Avinu, Vamagal Upon Batar Shloi Kalocha, Alpha Pishayach Beyod the Torah Maisim Toivim, In Loi Chelik Boilam Haba. So there's a short list of people that the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Rabbi Loza Amido, are In Lam Chelik Loilam Haba. One of them is Hamefer Brisa Shel Avram Avinu, the Rav. Rabbi Vadya Bar Tanura says, what does it mean, this person's mefer brisa shel Avram Avinu? He says it means one of two things. Either the person didn't do bris milah, or he did bris milah, but after he did the bris milah, he was moishach his arla. The truth is, the Rambam, in the end of Hilchas Milah, Perikim la'alochachah says this as well, says the Rambam, Me'usa hi arla sheneskanu bar rishot. Shenemar ki kol agoyim areilam v'gdoyle hi milo shloi nikra avam avrinu shalim ad shemal shenemar hisalich lefana v'heyei tamim v'etna brisi b'eni uveinecha v'chala mefer brisa shal Avram Avinu. Says the Rambam, any person that's mefer brisa shal Avram Avinu v'hiniach or losoi, and he left himself an aro oi mashcha, or after he did the bris milo he was moishach az arlo afa b'sheish b'yadam ma'isim toivim harbe, even if he has a lot of ma'isim toivim in lo chelik loilam haba. Says the Rambam, this person is not going to have any chelik in loilam haba. So the Gemara now is going to discuss someone that was moishach his arla. Does he have a din of an aral now? And as a result, ha'aral ha'yoich le'b'tshuma, the first halach of our perek, or not? So that's clear from the Mishnah and the Rav and the Rambam that we just learned, that if someone's moishach his arla, he's doing something very, very terrible. In fact, he's ein lo'ychelik le'olam haba, which almost feels like it's an issa d'iraisa. Incidentally, one of the things that the Mishnah says is Engle Chelik Loilam Haba is Amavazes Amayadis, which Pasha means he does work on Chol Hamoed. And there are Rishonim that bring a riot. Tosis brings us in Chagigu Yotches that you see from here the Issa to do Malach on Chol Hamoed must be an Issa Dei Raisa. Because if it's Engle Chelik Loilam Haba, Muzain, it's an Issa Dei Raisa. No. So if Mefer Brisa Shel Avram Avinu was also Engle Chelik Loilam Haba, and the Rishonim say, what does it mean? Not just he didn't do Bris Mila, but also he was Moshe Chazarlo. So it certainly sounds like it's an Issa Dei Raisa. But the bottom line is, our sugi is going to discuss not whether it's mutter or aser. That's not a discussion. Not even whether it's aser de raisa, aser de rabbanan. We're discussing discussing if someone was Moshech his Arul, does he now have a din of an Arul, or does he not have a din of an Arul? And the Gemara opens with a line that the Amorah Rav Huna said. So Amorah Rav Huna Dvar Torah, Moshech Eichel Betrumah. That someone that is Moshech his Arul, Midai Raisa, is a Ladi Truma. Meaning, Midai Raisa doesn't have a din of an Arul, even though he did something terrible, but Lamais, he had Bris Mila, and as a result, he's considered a Ma'um Midivrei. And however, Rav Huna added, he said, the Midrabban Gazer Olav, Mipnei Shenirika Arul. Because at the end of the day, he undid on some level his milah, so now he looks like an aral. So mipnei maris ayin, he's not supposed to eat truma. Freik tegemar meisvei moshuch tzaruch sheyimol. A brisa says if someone's moshuch is arlo, he has to do bris milah. So what do you see from here? You see he's an aral. The gemara says no, you don't see he's an aral. Midrabbanon moshuch tzaruch sheyimol just means midrabbanon he has to do another bris milah, but not that he's an aral. Says the gemara. In fact, udekarila makarila. What was even the havamina to ask a question from this braisa? Meaning, all the braisa said was moshech tzarech shehima. Doesn't say he's an aro. The oid, it's even mashma from the language of the braisa that he's not an aro. Because if he was an aro, what should the braisa have said? Moshech is an aro. Tzarech shehima sounds like you just have to go and you have to do something. Zok tegemar ha tzarech ketani. Right, the word tzarech sounds like you have to do it. Yeah, but in this case, it sounds like all it is that you have to do it, as opposed to that you're not considered a clinical aral. So the Gemara says, now the reason the Gemara thought that Moshech Tzarech Sheyimol is a Kashan Rav Huna, and it implies that he really is an aral, is Katoy B'Seif. It was the Seif of the Braisa that was misleading. You're right, that one line, Moshech Tzarech Sheyimol, is not mashma that it's a din d'oraisa. If anything, it's really mashma, all it is Tzarech Sheyimol, and really is not an aral, and it's a din d'rabbanan. However, there's a Seifa to this Braisa, and the Seif is already misleading. Vosh Teitin Seifa, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Lo yimal." Someone that's moishah chazarlo should not do bris milah. Mepnei shesakani hiloi, because it's considered dangerous. If someone's moishah chazarlo and then he does bris milah, it's considered dangerous. Amru loy, they told Rabbi Yehuda, "Valei harbe malu bimei ben kusiva v'haylidu banim ubanis." So this is another discussion between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, where they're bringing a raya from a maisa. We always speak this out. Usually it's Rabbi Yehuda that's bringing the Maisa. Here, they're telling Rabbi Yehuda. It's somehow always with Rabbi Yehuda. So they told Rabbi Yehuda, what do you mean? Harbe malu bimei ben kusiv in the times of Bar Kochva. Rashi gives us a little history course. Who Bar Kochva was? Mashiach. 2.5 years. Perik Chelik. Chorben Beitar. Adar Yonus. And the rest is history. But the point is that harbe malu bimen ben kusiva, so many did bris milah in the times of Bar Kochva, v'haylidu banim ubanos, and they had children afterwards. So you see that there was no sakana. So one of the things that the Romans decreed in the times of Bar Kochva was is that the Yidden couldn't do bris milah. Not just that, any Yid that had bris milah was forced to be Moshech his Arul. After the decree went away, so they did bris milah, and they were able to have children, so you see that there was no sakana. Shenemar, and the Chamin continued, and they said, it says also, himol yimol, afilu me'apamim, that even 100 times, no, it's a mitzvah, that if someone's Moshech his Arul, he's supposed to do bris milah. V'ayim, there's another pasuk, it says, es brisi hofer, l'rabbeis es hamoshech. So you see that someone that was Moshech his Arul, and he didn't do bris milah, it's es brisi hofer, he was made for his bris. So really, three rayas, right? Number one, they told him chava ma'isa, and number two, there's two psukim. He mo yimel afilu me upon him, and not just that. As priestly offer, as the rabbi says, "Mashach." So Rabbi Yehuda, you're telling me you're not supposed to do bris milah if someone was moishah chazarlo because it's a sakana. Number one, ma'isa shayu kachoy, and it wasn't a sakana. Besides, I have two psukim that say you have to. So the Gemara says, "My va'omer." So we have a ma'isa beseder, and then we brought psukim. It's a Yehuda va'oid l'kra, but that makes sense. But the question is, why do you need two psukim? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why you need two psukim. It's, if we'd only have the pasuk himol yimol, that teaches me afilu me'apamim, it wouldn't be muchrach that afilu me'apamim means someone that was moishah chazarlo. Maybe afilu me'apamim means that you have to go back for tzitzin hama'akvinas amilo. So if the moil missed out on the tzitzin that hama'akiv the milo, maybe that's afilu me'apamim tashma. That's where there was another pasuk. Es brisi hofer l'rabois es hamoshach. But the bottom line is, what do you see from here? You see that the Chachamim told Rabbi Yehuda that if someone is Moshech his Arul, he has to do bris milah. And the Chachamim supported it with psukim, two psukim. So you see from here that it's a din d'oraisa that someone that's Moshech his Arul has to do bris milah. If it's a din d'oraisa, That would then seem to imply that if someone's Moshech Hazarli doesn't do Bris Mila, he has a din of a Aral. So let's go back. Rav Huna said that if someone's Moshech Hazarli, Midday Raisa, Dvar Torah, he's Aichel B'Truma. It's only Midrabanan because he looks like he's an Aral. But Midday Raisa is Lady Truma. So the Chamin came, guns blazing. They said, what do you mean, Chavakashif and Abraisa? The Braisa says, Moshech Tzorech Sheyimo. Gemara says, no, that just means Midrabanan. And the Gemara was so taken aback with the Karila Makarila. What was the Havamina to ask from Moshech Tzorech Sheyimo? Number one, you don't see Day Raisa. And besides, the word Tzorech Sheyimo sounds like it's only like a din he has to do Brismila, as opposed to him being an actual Aral. So the Gemara says, no, the end of the price is what threw the Maksha off, because we're throwing Psukim at Rabbi Yehuda. So it certainly sounds like it's a din Dei Raisa. So the Gemara speaks to that. Who suffer? He thought the Maksha, that is, mid the Kanasala Tamud Kra, that from the fact that the Gemara brought Psukim Dei Raisa, must be it's a din Dei Raisa. But it's not true, mid the Rabbanon. Really, this whole din that a Mashach needs to do Brismila is a din the Rabbanon. The Kra Smachta Ba'alma, and the Pasuk is only an Asmachta Ba'alma. So what we're left with is Rav Huna's Halacha. Rav Huna said, Dvar Toyer. If someone that's Moshech Hazarlo does not have a din of an Aral, he's still considered a Mal, he's allowed a Truma. However, the Rabbanon were Geyser Mipnei Sheniruka Aral. Faith the Gemara Nachakasha. So the first Braisa fell flat, meaning we didn't have a Kasha on Rav Huna, but the Gemara is going to ask from another Braisa. This Kasha is going to be a good Kasha. Meisevei, Zok the Gemara, a Kasha, Tumtum, in Oichel B'Truma. Someone that's a Tumtum is not allowed to eat Truma. And Pashup Shat, why can't a Tumtum eat Truma? Because a Tumtum's either a Zachar or an Akeva. Now, on the side, the Tumtum's an Akeva, the Tumtum can eat Truma. On the side that the Tumtum's a Zachar, he's an Oral. Because if we don't know if he's a Zachar or an Akeva, obviously he didn't have Bris Mila. An Oral's not allowed to eat Truma. So, as a Hemshech of the Mishnah, Oral Yechel B'Truma, a Tumtum's also not allowed to eat Truma. Nashav Va'avodav, the Tumtum's wives or slaves, Eichlin. Now, a Tumtum can have slaves, just like anybody else could, before Lincoln freed the slaves. But how could a Tumtum have a wife? A Tumtum can be married. The Gemara is going to ask the Kasha. Moshuch v'noilad kishuhu mal. If someone was Moshuch as Arla, or if someone was Noilad mal, harei lo oichlin. They too are allowed to eat Truma. Adroiginis. An adroiginis, oichel b'truma, is allowed to eat truma. The ain, and the reason an adroigin, we'll see in a second, the ain oichel b'kachin, however, he's not allowed to eat kachin. Tumtum, the braisa continues and says, ain oichel loy b'truma v'loy b'kachin. Some tzaytamo, a tumtum's not allowed to eat truma, he's not allowed to eat kachin. But what do you see from here? We need one line. Ketani miyos, mashuch v'noilek shumal ha'rei lo oichel. You see from here that someone that's mashuch, or is noilek mal, is allowed to eat truma, which is tiufta, the Rav Huna, tiufta, it's a checkmate on Rav Huna. Why? Because Rav Huna said that a Moshuch is allowed to eat Truma midai Raisa. But mid Rabbanon, he's not allowed to eat Truma. From this Braisa, you see that, yeah, a Moshuch is allowed to eat Truma midai Raisa, but you also see that he's allowed to eat Truma midai Rabbanon. And if that's the case, Zok the Gemara, Tiufta, the Rav Huna, Tiufta. So we just brought the Braisa, so the Gemara now is going to analyze the Braisa a little bit. Amar Mar, Tumtum, Ene Eichel B'Truma. A Tumtum's not allowed to eat Truma. Noshav, Avodav, Eichlin. But his wives and his Avodim are allowed to eat Truma. So the Gemara says, Noshav, the Tumtum, Inale. How could a Tumtum have a wife? So the Gemara says, Ilem, the Kaddish, what do you mean? He has a wife because he was Mekadosh and Isha. Very simple. The Tanya, in fact, it's a Braisa. Tumtum, Shekidesh, a Tumtum that's Mekadosh and Isha. Kiddush of Kiddushim. The Kiddushim is a Kiddushim. Niskadesh, if someone's Mekadesh, a Tumtum, Kiddush of Kiddushim. It's a Kiddushim. Why? Because a Tumtum's a Safik Zachar, Safik Nekeva. So if a Tumtum's Mekadesh and Nekeva and the Tzari's a Zachar, it's a Safik Kiddushim. If someone's Mekadesh a Tumtum, a man is Mekadesh a Tumtum, so because he's a Safik Nekeva and the Tzad Nekeva, it's also a Kiddushim. So all you see, there's a Kiddushim, but the Gemara says very obvious. This Kiddushim that the Braisa mentions regarding the Tumtum is only Misafik. And because it's only Misafik, it's only Luchumra, Lukula Miyaminan. But Lukula, are you going to tell me that the Kiddushim's a Kiddushim? How could Lukula the Kedushin be a Kedushin? Safik Isha, who? He's a Safik Isha. The Ein Isha, Mikadesh Es Isha. So if a Tumtum, that's a Kayin, would be Mikadesh an Isha, it's Pashat that Isha wouldn't be able to eat Truma. Because although it's true Lachumra, you have to be concerned that maybe this Tumtum is a Zachar, and therefore maybe the Kedushin's a Kedushin, so she can't marry somebody else unless she gets a get. But might be in a keva, and on the side he's in a keva, she's not king and kaspe of a kohen, and she wouldn't be able to eat truma. So the Gemara says that what does it mean, noshav shal tumtum? That's the Gemara's kasha. Amar Abaya, Abaya said, kishabetzav nikaris mibachot. And we had this Abaya already earlier, we actually had this in Chagigah Daf Dalet, and Abaya held that there's two definitions of the word tumtum. The classic tumtum is where the entire aver is covered, and as a result, you don't know if this person's a zakh or this person's in a keva. But there's another tumtum that Abaya himself would often be Mefarish Mishnayis as referring to, and that is someone whose gid is Mechosa, and as a result, can't be moiled, but at the same time, beitz of anikaris mibachotz. So that type of tumtum is also in a tumtum in certain areas, but at the same time, he's zichra zachar, because beitz of anikaris mibachotz, and because he's zichra zachar, so it's for that reason, in our halacha, that tumtum could have a wife, and that's where it's negeya, noshev avadov of the tumtum, where the halacha is that they'd be able to eat truma. So the tumtum himself, because the gid is mechusa, so he's an aral. So because he's an Arul, he can eat truma. However, Noshev Avodov could eat truma. Because there's no halacha that the wife of an Arul can eat truma. And there's no halacha that the Evan of an Arul can eat truma. And that's what the Braisa means. Rav Amar Rav said something else. He said, well, the tumtum of the Braisa is a regular tumtum. It's a tumtum that's a Safik Zacha, Safik Nekev. So what does it mean, Noshev? What do you mean, Noshev? You're right. There's a Braisa that says you can have a wife L'chumra, but not a wife L'kula that should be able to eat truma. My Noshev Imoy. Noshev means his mother. Meaning, in the event that Bas Yisrael married a Kohen and had a child, so we know the halacha is that if the marriage is terminated, she continues to eat truma because of the child. What if that child was a tumtum? That's what the Braisa is saying. She'd be able to eat truma. The tumtum would be Michael over truma. So the Gemara says, pshita. It's obvious. And why is it obvious? Because tumtum's either a zachar or a keva. I'm a man of shach. The child could be Michael Batruma, because the Zachar is Michael Batruma, and the cave is also Michael Batruma. The Gemara says it's not so obvious, because Mado Tema, I would have thought, Moilid Michael, She'ein Moilid Einoi Michael, Kamash Malon. Because the Makar to the halachas of Vlodois as it relates to Truma is it says, V'yalid Beisai, as we saw in the previous parak. So you would have thought that Yalid Beisai means, right, just like we said, Yalud Michael, She'ein Yalud Einoi Michael. An Uber can't be Michael. It has to be Yalud. So maybe Yalid Beisai means a child that's able to be Moilid. And because a Tumtum can't be Moilid, so there would have been a Havim, maybe she can't be Michael, but Truma, Kamash Malon, that's the Raya. So we have a machloikis, a baya for Rava. What the Braisa means when it says tumtum ein oichel betruma noshev avodav oichel. According to Abaya, the tumtum of the Braisa is referring to not the traditional tumtum, but rather tumtum that is a vaday zacher. It's only the gid that's mechusa, but beitz of anikaris mibachotz. And that's what the Braisa means when it says noshev oichel. This tumtum is a vaday zacher. As a result, he can have a wife. In the event he's a kohen, she's kinyan kasbe of a kohen, she'll be able to eat truma. According to Rava, when it says tumtum ein oichel betruma, it doesn't mean Rabbi's tumtum, means a regular tumtum. It's a safik zachar, safik nekeva. What then does noshav oichlin mean? If he's a safik nekeva, how could he have a wife that lukula will be able to eat truma? So Rava said, noshav doesn't mean noshav, it means imay. But as it relates to the definition of the word tumtum in the first line of the Braisa, according to Abaya, it's a vaday zachar. According to Rava, it's a safik zachar, safik nekeva. So the Gemara says, Tashma. L'chayru, we could be machriya, the machloik is abayi v'rava, how we understood the word tumtum. From where? From the end of the Braisa. Because if you look back at the Braisa actually mentioned tumtum tzim tzveitinmo. We'll just read the words quickly. Tumtum ein oichel b'trumma. That's the tumtum that Abaya and Rava debated. Moshuch, that's why we're even talking about this. The shtotzu, moshuch, to say tiufta de ravuna tiufta. Vinoilat kishumal, hare elu oichlin. Adroiginis, oichel betruma, vein oichel bekotchim. Tumtum tzim tzveitin mal, ein oichel le betruma, vele bekotchim. So the Gemara says, Toshma, the Braisa mentioned tumtum twice. Tumtum ein oichel le betruma, vele bekotchim. Why? It's a bishl, in the labaya. So the Gemara says, bishl, according to Abaya. Tana resha oro vade viktani seifa safagaro. The two tumtums are not the same tumtum. The first tumtum is a vadai zachar, which means the reason he can't eat truma is because he's an oro, but he's a vadai oro. Because you know for sure he's a zachar, you know for sure he's an oro, which means he's a vadai oro. And what's the seifa? Safagaro. That's your regular classic tumtum. That's a safik zacher, safik nekeva. But as it relates to Arul, he's only a safik garul, because he's only a safik zacher. El Rava, but according to Rava, tumtum the seif alam, it's the same tumtum. If the rachis tumtum is the traditional tumtum, the chari, the seif is also, so it's the same exact thing. So the Gemara says, you're right. According to Rava, you have to say, my tumtum, you know what tumtum means at the end of the braisa? This is going to feel dachuk. Arul. It means not tumtum, it means arul. So the Gemara says, why would you have to say arul? Hash the safik arul ayachal, vadi arul achal. If the reish of the Braisa that mentioned tumtum was talking about a safik arul, so why would the seif of the Braisa have to mention now all of a sudden a tumtum which Rava said means arul? Interesting. But means arul, which is a vadi arul. If a safik arul is not letting truma, certainly a vadi, the Gemara says, you're right, matam kamar. The way you read the Braisa is as follows, matam tumtum in ayachal b'truma. What's the reason that a tumtum is not ayachal b'truma, but nature safik arul? Of course, he's a safik arul. The arul ain't ayachal, and an arul is not let eat like b'truma. Let kachim, you can't eat truma and kachim. It's really that last line that a tumtum is not let to eat truma and kachim is the first line of our parak. The Braisa mentioned it in a unconventional way by saying tumtum is ene yoichal loy b'truma v'loy b'kachim. So going back to our shayla, and that is Rav Huna's halacha. Rav Huna said dvar Torah mashuch oichal b'truma. Someone that was mashuch hazar was allowed a truma. Midday Raisa. However, Midivraim Godzrom Nation Nirkara. But the Rabbanan said he shouldn't do it. And right now, where we're holding is Tiufta de Ravuna Tiufta. The Gemara brought a Mefurish of Raisa, where the Braisa knocked out Ravuna. Which point of Ravuna? The second point. The Braisa said, I agree, Ravuna, that someone that's Moshe Chazarla is allowed to eat Truma. However, in the Braisa, it's Mavur that even Midirabbanan. So as Rav Huna said that Midirabbanan, because he's Nira Karl, he shouldn't eat Truma, the Braisa says, no, even Midirabbanan, he's allowed to eat Truma. So the Gemara, at first glance, this would really seem to be a Machloikis Tanoim. A Braisa, Moshuch, someone that was Moshuch Hazar, that's what we need. Vigarishin is Garik Shu Mal, or someone was Megarik, she was Mal, so this person was circumcised before he was Megayer, and now that he was Megayer, he's already Gemalot. The cotton shavrasmanoi, or a cotton that was avrasmanoi, meaning a child that needs brismilo, but for whatever reason they're not doing milo bismanoi, vishar kolani moilim, or anyone else that's going to have brismilo. What else could there be? Someone that has two arlois. So Rashi says, the last Rashi in the Amid, what does it mean this child has two arlois? Beiz oiroi zuagabzu. It means he has two oiroi. So there's two flaps of skin that need milo. Rashi in Perek Rav Elazar de Milo says, shtei arlois means he actually has two gidin. But the bottom line is, all these people, what's the halacha? The bris milah has to be during the day as opposed to at night. Rav Shimon said, if the milah is going to be bismane, then it has to be during the day. However, if the milah is going to be shalei bismane, then nimoylen bayoyim ubalayla. Then the bris milah could be by day or by night. So we're going to focus now on mashuch, which is one of the things that were mentioned in the braisa. That someone that's moshuch hazarlo, we have a machloikis if the milah is done by day or if the milah is done by night. The Tanakam of the braisa says, mashuch ein nimoylen ela bayoyim. Rav Shimon said, then no, it could be bayoyim ubalayla. The Gemara says, "My labah hakamifli." At first glance, it would seem reasonable to say that this is the machlekes. The Mar Savar Moshech Dayraisa. The Tanakhama that says it has to be during the day because he holds that if someone's Moshech Hazarla, he's an Arul Midayraisa. He needs Mila Dayraisa. So if he needs Mila Dayraisa, so that's why it has to be during the day. Mila is always during the day, so this too would have to be during the day. Mar Savar Moshech Derabanan. Whereas Rabbi Shimon holds that Moshech is only the Rabbanan, and because it's only the Rabbanan, that's why you could do it even at night. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna's halacha, which we just checkmated a few lines ago, really. Maybe after further review, might be a machlokes tanoim. So sure, we had a brisa, not like Rav Huna, but then again, there's another brisa out there, and maybe this brisa can help Rav Huna a little bit. And in fact, maybe this shailor, this discussion, anyways, is totally in a machlokes tanoim. But the Gemara says no. Vitisbara, meaning the maksha is discussing this brisa as if the only thing that was mentioned in the brisa was the halacha of being someone that was Moshe Chazarla. And whether now that he does bris milah, does the bris milah have to be during the day, or could the bris milah be done even at night? But the truth is, the Braisa mentioned other examples where the Tanam debated this as well. For example, katan sha'avar zman. It mentioned katan sha'avar zman. According to the Tanakam, bris milah has to be during the day. According to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, it could be even at night. Is there anyone going to tell you that that's only a derabanan? Of course not. Avadet stay Raisa. An afal pikein. Still, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon holds that it could be at night. So obviously, this machlokes over here is not a simple machlokes. Oh, is it dayraisa? Is it the rabbanon? If it's dayraisa by day, if it's the rabbanon, then you can even do it at night. Because Rav Shimon holds that even milah shaloi bezmanoi, regular milah shaloi bezmanoi, which is a dayraisa, right? There's a mitzvah and a mufchur to do it by yom hashmini, but certainly can be done even by night. So you see from here that even milah shaloi bezmanoi is something you can do by night. So obviously, it has nothing to do with dayraisa the rabbanon. Ela the Gemara says the guli yama mashach the rabbanon. Loilam, I'll tell you, everyone holds that someone that's moishah chazar lo the chiyev to do bris milah is a chiyev the rabbanon. The cotton shovers man, yavada is the rice. So what's this machlokes? It's a whole new machlokes. Vacha balkam evlgi mar sover darshinon ubiyoin. Mar sover the Tanakama holds that it says ubayoim mashmini yimo basara losai, and it says ubayoim and ubayoim is marba. That not only ubayoim mashmini, a regular mila b'shmini, but even all these other milois that are not typical milois, they also have to be done during the day. Mar sover. Whereas Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, loy darshinon ubayoim. You don't darshin the word ubayoim. And if you don't darshan the word ubayoyim, so it's only a mila bismanoi, not a mila shaloi bismanoi. Rashi says kolshkein mashuch, and all the other cases that I mentioned in that braisa. The question is, how inclusive is the halacha that mila has to be during the day? The makar that mila has to be during the day is ubayoyim hashmini imo b'sar alasai. And the question is, ubayoyim, that teaches me mila bayoyim, right, ubayoyim, which it says by shmini. The question is it dafka mila b'shmini, or are we going to be marba different milois as well. Says the Gemara, Kiha. And there's a makar to this discussion of whether or not we should darshan the word ubayoim, or we should not darshan the word ubayoim as it relates to whether the mila that's not your typical bayoim mashmini diga mila has to be during the day. Kihadi Yosef Rabbi Yochan b'kadarsh. Rabbi Yochan was once sitting and he said over a drasha. He was learning the sugya of noisa. So we know the halacha of noisa is that basar kachim has to be eaten by a certain day. The emurim of kachim have to be burnt by a certain time. And if the basar is left beyond the time where the mitzvah with it was supposed to be done, it's noisar. What's the halach of noisar? So it says in the Torah, noisar needs to be burnt. Now the pasuk says, v'hanoisar mipsar hazovach bayoim hashlishi be'eshi sarif. So it says bayoim. So bayoim would imply that sreifas noisar has to be during the day, which is the comparison to what we're discussing now, which is bris mila, where it says bayoim hashmini, which also implies that bris mila has to be during the day. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochan was once giving the following drasha. He said, noisar bismanu in an isra velabayam. If you're burning noisar bismanu, you have to do it during the day. Abishalay bismanu, if you're not burning it during the day, during its proper time, meaning the time that you're supposed to burn it already passed, you're doing it a day later or whatever it is. So then, nisra bayam, bayam belay. Then you could burn it during the day, you could burn it at night. So after Rabbi Yochan said this halacha, Rabbi Loz asked him a question. His question was from a braiso. Ein li elo nima lishmini shein nima lalabayam. It says, uvayam ashmini bopsar losai, which from there sounds like that only be lishmini has to be during the day. How do you know if that if the meal is going to be done on the 9th day, the 10th day, 11th day, the 12th day? In other words, how do you know if the meal is going to be shaloi bezmanoi? That loch is it has to be during the day. Talmud loimar, it says uvayoim. And then Rabbi Loza continued. And he said, vafilu lemanda loy darish vav. Even though there is a manda amar, granted, that doesn't darshan the word vav, abavav vehei, that for sure darish is going to darshan. So he told Rabbi Yochanan that by noisar it says veha noisar mipsar hazovach bayoim hashlishi be'ish tisarif. It doesn't say noisar, it says ve with a vav, it says veha with a hey. So there's a vav and a hey, and because there's a vav and a hey, so therefore he told Rabbi Yochanan that even though it's true it says bayoim hashlishi, and bayoim hashlishi would imply maybe only if it's bizmanoi it has to be bayoim, but if it's shloi bizmanoi not, but you see from Milo that the vav is marba uvayoy mashmini, and even if you want to tell me maybe you don't darshan the vav, but vavehe everybody darshans, and because everybody darshans vavehe, so he told Rabbi Yochan, how could you tell me that Sreifas Noisar only bezmanoi has to be during the day? It's much shloi bezmanoi also. So the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan heard Rabbi Loza's kasha ishtik, he was quiet. Basa the nafik. After Rabbi Loza left, Amalei Rabbi Yochanan the Reish Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan told Reish Lakish, Ra'isi leben Pedas. Elazar's father's name was Pedas. He was Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas. I saw ben Pedas she yoyshev v'doyresh kemoisha mipi agvura. The drasha that he gave was mamish kemoisha mipi agvura. What does this mean? Kemoisha mipi agvura. Such an interesting phrase. We have a related raid by from Rabbi Reuven Margolis, where he explained this line. What does it mean that he was darshaning kemoisha mipi agvura? I'm only Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish told Rabbi Yochanan, did he? What, you think this was his own drasha? He's darshaning keilu. He had the ability to darshan as an amoira. He doesn't know how to darshan kemoisha mipi agvura. Masnisi, what this is really is a braisa. So he told him, hey, chatanele, where's the braisa? So he told him, b'tayrus kayanim, it's a braisa and tayrus kayanim. So the Gemara says, nofek tanya b'tlasa yoyim. Rabbi Yochanan went and he chazed over the braisa for 3 days, the sovra betlasa yarchi, and then he said shir on it for 3 months. But the bottom line is, this is the Gemara's discussion of uvayim. So we're just going to start the next Gemara because we can't end so far back. But we'll just start the next Gemara, and then we'll segue into some light raid. So again, we're discussing the halacha of an oral. The first halacha of the parak is that oral is lo yoicha b'truma. Amar Rabbi Loza said oral shehiza has a asik shera. If an oral would be maza from the Hora Aduma, on someone that's Tomei Tumas Meis, the halach is the hazah would be an effective hazah. Mida have a tful yoim. And he said, yeah, you know, I know that. I know that from a tful yoim. Sha'af al pisha asa betruma, kasha bepara. A tful yoim is someone that's not allowed to eat truma, yet he's allowed to be maza from the para aduma. So nu, an oral who's also not allowed to eat truma, as we saw in our Mishnah, he too would be able to be maza from the para aduma. So we know that not all tmeim were created equally. Different Tumah requires different Seder Tahira. Someone that's Tomei Tumas Meis, his Tumah is considered the most Chamor, and he needs to do the most in order for him to be Tar. what did he have to do? He needed to have water mixed with the ashes of the Parah Aduma sprinkled on him. Had to be sprinkled on him by a Kayin. And there's a whole bunch of different halachas, hard halachas, that relate to the concept of Parah Aduma. Rabbi Loza said that an Oral is allowed to be the Kayin that's going to be Mazah, the Mechatos from the Parah Aduma, on someone that's Tomei Tumas Meis. Now he says, you're going to tell me it sounds like a Chiddush. Why? An Oral can eat Truma, an Oral can eat Kachim. So you're allowing him to be Mazah from the Parah Aduma? Rabbi Loza said, yeah, I have a precedent. It's Pasha. Me did have a Tful Yoyim. A Tful Yoyim is somebody that was Tomei. He went to the mikvah, but the sun didn't set yet. And as a result, he's not completely tar. Now, a Tful Yoyim is not allowed to eat truma, yet he's allowed to be the kohen that's going to be mazir from the mechatos. So no, an aral shouldn't be any different. But the Gemara says, how could you compare an aral to a tful yoyim? Malu tful yoyim shekem muter b'meiser. A tful yoyim is allowed to eat meiser sheni. An aral is not allowed to eat meiser sheni. So says the Gemara, you see from here that an aral is actually more chomer than a tful yoyim. So just because a tful yoyim can be mazir from the mechatos doesn't necessarily mean that an aral should be able to do the same thing. So the Gemara says, otu anan la'achilo kamrinon. Says the Gemara, who cares that an Oral has a Chumro that he's not allowed to eat Meiser? We're not talking about eating. We're discussing eating. We're discussing being Maza. You know what we're discussing? We're discussing, can an Oral touch the Mechatos? Does he have something that prohibits him from getting involved in Inyane Kedusha that involve Negiah? But not Achila, because we're not talking about Achila. And not La Negiah Kamrinon. We're talking about Negiah. And if that's the case, Akhti Gemara, not only do I think you can learn Oral from Tful Yoyim, because why should Oral be different than Tful Yoyim? Let me explain to you a little better what Rabbi Lazar meant. He meant Kal V'chaymer. This is one of the Yud Gemara Midrash HaTorah addresses, man. This is what he meant to say. Who can't eat Truma? But not only can't he eat Truma, he also can't touch Truma. Mutab Paro. He could be Mazer from the Mechatos, meaning he could touch the Mechatos. Oral Shem Mutab Negiah. An Oral who granted can't eat Truma, but he's allowed to touch Truma. So certainly, Eino Din She Mutab Paro. In other words, the Gemara just rephrased the limud. Amar Rabbi Lazar. Let's see Rabbi Lazar again. He said, Aral Shnehiza has a Asik Sheir. The Aral is Mazar from the Mechatas. The Halach is it's okay. Why? Midi Dehava at Tful Yoyim. Kal V'choymer. Not Midi Dehava. Kal V'choymer mit Tful Yoyim. Madach at Tful Yoyim, who's not allowed to touch Truma, is allowed to touch the Mechatas and be the one that does the Hazah. So Kal V'chaymer and Aral, who is allowed to touch Truma, certainly should be able to touch and be Maza the Mechatas. But the Gemara asks Akasha, Meisaveh, I'll ask you Akasha from a Braisa, a Teisefta in Meseches Parah. Tumtum Shekidesh. A Tumtum. So an Amid Aleph, Tumtum Shekidesh was a Tumtum that was Mekadesh in Isha, as in her Ish Mekadesh. Over here, Tumtum Shekidesh means a Tumtum that took the Efer of the Parah Aduma and he was Mekadesh it with the Mechatos. Meaning he was Mekadesh, the Mechatos that's going to be sprinkled on the person that's Tamei Meis. So the Halach is Kidushe Pasol. Doesn't work. Mipnei Shehu Safik Oral, because he might be an Oral. The Oral, Pasol Mekadesh. An Oral is not allowed to be Mekadesh. The Adroiginis Shekidesh, an Adroiginis that was Mekadesh the Mechatos, Kidushe Kosher, it's going to be okay. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Af adroigin es shekidesh kedusha pusulim." That even an adroigin es that's mekadesh meichatos, it's not going to be okay. Mipnei shesafik isha, because an adroigin es is a safik isha, the isha pusulim ilakadesh. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that an isha is not going to be mekadesh. Ketani mia, what do you see from here? Aral, the safik aral, pusulim ilakadesh. You see an aral and a safik aral are not going to be mekadesh. Now, if they can't be mekadesh the meichatos, presumably they also can't be mazah the meichatos. Sefreit the Gemara meisve. Rabbi Lozer said, "Aral shehiz azosik sheiro kal v'chaymer from." Tful Yoyim, Freit the Gemara, Mefurish Akasha. It says clearly in this Braisa, Tumtum Shekidesh Kiddushay Pasol. Why? Because he's a Safik Oral. And Oral Pasol the Kadesh, that line. Oral Pasol the Kadesh, just Mefurish in the Braisa, not like Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said a Geshmaka Teretz. Hai Tana, Tana Tver Rabbi Akiva. This Tana must have came from the base Medrash of Rabbi Akiva. He's coming from the school of Rabbi Akiva. The Marbile, which is also in Yonah the Yema, La Oral Kitame, who is Marbe, he holds that an Oral is like a Tame. How do you know Rabbi Kiva holds an Oral like a Tame? My reading, the Tanya we learned to the Bryce. Rabbi Kiva said that what's the Makar to the Halacha that an Oral is not allowed to eat Truma? Because it says Ish in the Parsha of Tame, who's not allowed to eat Truma, the Rabbi Sa'aral and Marber and Oral. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that Enachanami, I know there's a Bryce. There's a Bryce that says Oral Pasul Kadesh. You know why? It's Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds an Oral is like a Tame. And just like a Tame is Pasul Kadesh, so too an Oral is Pasul Kadesh. Oh, but it's not a Kash and Rabbi Lazar, because Rabbi Lazar didn't hold like Rabbi Akiva. Who'd Rabbi Lazar hold like? Rabbi Eliezer, who learned that an Oral Yoichel Truma is not because he's treated like a Tame. tama. It's not ish ish l'rabbi says the aro. He has no shaychus to being tama. It's learned out from the zereshava toish v'sacha from carbon pesach. That's what the makar is, and if that's what the makar is, it has nothing to do with the halacha of Rabbi Lazar. So Rabbi Lazar holds that aro shehiza has also k'sheira. It's there's a mefurish of Raisa that says aro shekidesh, which the Gemara assumes means also shehiza is pasul. Isn't that a kasha on Rabbi Lazar? It's not a kasha on Rabbi Lazar. Because Rabbi Lazar will tell you that Bryce's Rabbi Akiva, who holds that the Makar, that an Oros L'Yoichel L'Truma is ish ish from the Parish of Tumah, which means, here's the punchline, Rabbi Akiva holds an Oros like a Tomeh. So if a Tomeh can't be Makadish, it can't be Mazar for the Mechatas, so too an Oro won't be able to. Rabbi Lazar doesn't hold it at Chiddush. He holds the Makar to Oros L'Yoichel L'Truma is somewhere else, has nothing to do with Tumah. He's really not a Tomeh. Oh my Rabbi, so Rabbi said, you sit in the committee of Rabbi Yosef, I was sitting in front of Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef was Rav's Rebbe. So he's sitting in front of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef, the Kashali, and I had the following question. This is the question I asked my Rebbe. I said, Loi l'shtamit tana v'lisni ha'oro v'atame v'lemi Rabbi Akiva. We just said a big chiddush. It was geschmack. But really, it's a chiddush. We just said that because Rabbi Akiva learns that oro l'yoichel b'tshuma from the parish of Tame, ish ish, he holds that an oro is like a Tame. And the Gemara said there's an nafkamina regarding paraduma. But Rava said if there's a nafkamina regarding paraduma, there has to be another nafkamina as well. There must be other nafkaminas. This can't be the only nafkamina in the world. So if there are other nafkaminas to this halacha, how come I never heard anywhere ha'aru v'atame? How come no one ever said anything like that? And we should have said arul and tame, what shaykhis? And arul's not a tame. Oh, it's Rabbi Akiva. He holds an arul's like a tame. How come I never heard of such a thing? The Gemara said, Vala, you never heard of such a thing? Voktani, I have a brace. So it says ha'aru v'atame p'turim in aria. An Arul and a Tommy can't do Riyah. Now I understand why a Tommy can't do Riyah. Why not an Arul? Oh, it's probably Rabbi Akiva because he also an Arul is like a Tommy. The Gemara says, no, Hossam, that's not a Taino. Mishum de Ma'is. The reason an Arul can't do Riyah is not because he's like a Tommy and a Tommy can't. He's not Tome, it's because it's Ma'as, Ma'usa Arlo, like we said. As for that reason, he can't do it. Let's just finish the Gemara. Va'azdu l'tamayu, this machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, are really l'shitasayu. So which machloikis? So the Gemara brought a brice about who could be Mekadish from the who could be mekadesh the mechatas tumtum shekidesh is a problem. Why? Because he's a suffolk oral. The adroigin is shekidesh, and adroigin is that was mekadesh kedushay kasher. The loch is it's going to be okay. So the adroigin is can do it. Why? Because the adroigin is kedubris mila, right? A tumtum and adroigin is are both suffolk zacha suffolk nekeva, but they're not the same, and that's why in different sugyas their halachas are manifest differently. A tumtum is a suffolk zacha suffolk nekeva because the gid is mechosa on the tzad zachar. A tumtum, by definition, is going to be an aral. And adroiginus is a suffix zofch nekeva, but he doesn't have to be an aral. Could be an aral, but if he did brismila, he's not going to be an aral. Because an adroiginus is suffix is he has the simonim sai of his achasai nekeva. So he could do brismila on the simon zacher, and as a result, he won't be an aral. So the Mishnah is saying that an adroiginus that had brismila, that was mekadesh, kidushe kasha. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, an adroiginus is going to be possible because he's a suffix isha, and an isha is not allowed to be mekadesh. In other words, we have a machloikis in this brice, this is so agaf, but we have a machloikis in this brice, whether an isha could be mekadesh to mekadesh, whether an isha could be mazer from the mechatas. According to the Chachamim, yes, and that's why an adroiginus can't. I an adroiginus suffic isha, isha's not a brawl. I is a zachar, okay, a zachar certainly could. I is an oral, no he's not. But I thought he's an adroiginus. No, adroiginus could do brismila. A tumtum can't do brismila, right? That's the whole point. Rabbi Yehuda says no, an adroiginus can't because he's a suffic isha and an isha cannot. So the Gemara says, this is machloik is Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Whether or not an adroiginus is kosher for the nyonim of a paraduma, or whether an isha really is kosher for the nyonim of a paraduma, is l'shita sayu, it's a mishnah mesachtes paradit nan, hakul kshayim l'kaddish, everyone's kosher to be l'kaddish, to mechat eschotz, mecheresh, shoita, v'katan. Rabbi Yehuda machshe v'katan. Rabbi Yehuda says, I disagree with two things. I hold, number one, a katan could, not chutz mecheresh, shoita, v'katan, a katan could, upoisel be each of adroiginus. However, a woman, and for that matter, an adroiginus, because she's a suffolk woman, cannot. So you see two machloikas in over here. Number one, a katan, kosher or not. Number two, what we need is an isha. According to Tanakam, an isha can, right? Hakol ksheirim, chos b'cher shayit v'katan, isha is not excluded. According to Rabbi Yehuda, poisel b'isha, an isha cannot. So the Gemara says, my time at the Rabbanon. What's the makar to the Rabbanon, that the Rabbanon hold that an isha is ksheira lekadesh mechatos, but a katan is possible to accept, because the pasuk says v'lokchu latameh me'afar srefas hachatos, and then the pasuk says v'nosan olav mayim chayim al keli. You're going to gather all the ashes. You're going to mix it together with water, and then you're going to do the azal. So we learn from here, hanach the pasli basifa psu in the kiddush. Anyone that's not allowed to do asifa can't do kiddush. Hanach the ksherim basifa ksherim the kiddush. But anyone that could do asifa could do kiddush. What does that have to do with anything? So really, the end of this drasha is that the chachamim hold that a katan can't do asifa. A woman can do asifa. So a katan that can't do asifa, so too, she can't do the rest of it. Whereas a katan who can't do asifa can't do the rest. Whereas a woman that can, she could do the rest. Rabbi Yehuda is going to tell you, im kain, if that's true, neimakra velakach. My velakhu, what does the word velakhu mean? Dafilu hanach tapsulun asim ksherahach. The word velakhu is an inclusive word, and it's coming to be marba, that there is even someone that can't do the asifa that is going to be kosher to do the rest of it, to be mekadesh, and to do the azah. And who's that referring to? That's referring to a katan. So if you're being marba katan, because it says v'lakhu, you should be marba isha as well. So the Gemara says, it says v'nosan all of mayim chayim al keli, v'loy v'nosna. It doesn't say v'nosna. V'nosan is mashma only a zachar, not in a cave. V'rabbanon. What do the rabbanon do with the word v'lakhu? And what do they do with the fact that it says v'nosan and not v'nosna? Rabbi Yehuda said v'lakhu is marba, it's marba katan. V'nosan, not v'nosna, is mermaid isha. Why didn't the rabbanon learn the same way? The rabbanon will tell you, say v'lakach v'nosan, because I'll tell you why. The Torah had to write v'lakhu and then say v'nosan. Because had it said v'lakach v'nosan, hava mina shakl chad v'yavchad, I would think that you need one person to do the lekicha, and you need one person to do the nesina. Kazav Rachman of Alakhu to teach me that two people could do the lekicha. Because Rachman of Alakhu v'nasu, had it said v'lakhu v'nasnu, hava mina, I would have thought you need two people. The shakli trevi avi tre. Two people have to do the lekicha, and two people have to do the nesina. Kazav Rachman of Alakhu v'nasan. Therefore, the Torah wrote v'lakhu v'nasan to teach me that filu shakli trevi avchad. Even if two people do the lekicha and one person does the nesina, that in and of itself is going to be okay. But the bottom line is we just needed one thing. For Ozlu Tamai, you see, Rabbi Yehuda Chamim argued in a Braisa and in a Mishnah the same exact point, whether an Isha's kosher, Lekadesh or Lahazos, the Mechatos or not. Just one last point as it relates to Parah Aduma, and that is Vehiza Atar Alatami. So with Darshaning Psukim related to Parah Aduma, it says the Tahar is going to be the one that's going to do the Hazah. So the Gemara says, Tahar Mechlal Shehu Tameh. It sounds like he's really Tameh. Vehiza HaTahar. Sounds like he's a shtickel tar, but he's also a shtickel tame, limate, al tful yoim shakasha bepara. This teaches us that a tful yoim is a ladder be mazah the Parah Aduma. Not only is he allowed to, we know that the Chacham used to go out of their way to make sure that he would be a tful yoim. Lahitzi miliban shal tzadaykin. We have a related raid bite on this as well. The ein kan mekoymoy laharech. But what it is mekoymoy laharech on a little bit is the halachos of Bris Milah, which are tucked away, not surprisingly, in Perek Ha'aral. So just one Ha'ara, just talk a little bit about the Inyanim of Bris Milah. That is, we learned in the beginning of the Daf, and it was also the end of yesterday's Daf, that the Yidden that were in the Midbar did not do Bris Milah. The Pasuk says, Ki mulim hayu kala ama yaitzim. All the Yidden that had left Mitzrayim had Bris Milah. Aba v'chala ama yiloidim midbar. All the children that were born in the Midbar, baderech betzeisim Mitzrayim, loy malu, had not had any Bris Milah. So what happened? They came to Eretz Yisrael, and Be'esahi Amr Hashem Yeshua, Hashem told Yeshua Benun, Aseilach Achar V'Surim, V'Shuv Moiles B'nei Yisrael. Sheinis, now's the time to go ahead and to do Bris Milah. The Chassam Sofer, in his Torah Moshe, in Parshas Kisisa, and it's also in Chassam Sofer Ala Torah, in Parshas Kisisa, says that Yesh Loimar, there's a remez to the fact that Yeshua Benun was the one that oversaw the Bris Milah for the entire Dor HaMidbar. The Pasuk says, Umisharsa Yeshua Benun Nar Lo Yomish Mitoicha Oil. Zok the Hilgach Sam Sofer. The Rosh Tevois of the words Lo Yomish Mitoicha Oil are Mila. Mitoich is Mem, Yomish is Yud, Loi is Lamid, Ha'oil is Hey, it's Rosh Tevis Mila, and this is a remez, says the Chassam Sofer, to the fact that Yeshua ben Nun oversaw the Bris Mila of the entire generation of the Yidden that were born in Mitzrayim. The Chassam Sofer doesn't say this, but I think it's Pashit, that the oimik of what the Chassam Sofer is saying is, that where is this remez of Layamish Mitoich Ha'oil Mila, that Yeshua ben Nun was the one that oversaw it? It's in Parshas Kisisa. It's smack in the middle of the Parsha of the Egel. What Shaychis does Layamish Mitoich Ha'oil Mila have to do with the Chet Egel? It's today's daf, because the Gemara says that why did that generation not have Bris Mila? It's because there was no Ruach Tzafaynis. Why was there no Ruach Tzafaynis? Because they were Nezufim the Pnei Amakim. Why were they Nezufim Zagrash? So it was all because of the eagle. So in this parsha of the eagle, state Yeshua Benun lo yomish mitoich oil, a remez to Mila. It's because of what's going on right here in the middle of Parshas Kisisa that ultimately Yeshua Benun is going to have to be the great moil, and he's going to be the one that's going to literally circumcise an entire generation. But it bothered me. It bothered me. Why is this idea of Mila merumes in the words lo yomish mitoich oil? And I think that there's a little bit of an oimik, and we have to be makdim, a very important maramakim, in the sugyas of Bris Mila. That is a classic Rabbi Akiva Eger in Masechtes Nedarim, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. So the Mishnah in Masechtes Nedarim talks at length, it's a long Mishnah, Divrei Agada, which you don't see every day in a Mishnah, about the greatness of Mila. G'dayla Mila this, G'dayla Mila that. And then the Mishnah says, G'dayla Mila, shel malehi, we're not for bis Mila, le'bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu es olamai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have created the world. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Koy Amar Hashem, im lo'y verisi yoyman v'loyla chukai shamayim v'aretz lo'y samti. And what is im lo'y verisi mi? We're not for bris Mila. So says the Gemara, G'dayla Mila, Mila so gevaldik, shel malehi, we're not for bis Mila, le'bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu es olamai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have created the world. The Gemara in Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph says, "Upliga the Rabbi Lazar." This Mishnah is not like Rabbi Lazar. Amr Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar said, "Gedayla Torah. Torah is so great. Shel Mole Torah lo in the sky mushamayim v'aretz. Because we're not for the Torah, shamayim v'aretz would not have been created. Shenem Amloy Barisa Yoyim V'Laylo Chukay Shamayim V'aretz Loisamti." In other words, the Gemara says it's a machlekes Tana. The Tana the Mishnah holds that what does it mean Amloy Barisa Yoyim V'Laylo? It's referring to Bris Mila. Thus, G'dayla Mila, Shel Malayilei, Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Esayin Lamoi. Rabbi Loza argues. Rabbi Loza says, what does it mean, Amloy Barisi, not Bris Mila, but what it's referring to is the Bris of Torah. And it's Amloy Torah, Loi Miskayim U'Shamayim V'Arts. Freit Rab Kiveger. The Pasuk says, Amloy Barisi, Yoimam V'Layla, Chukai Shamayim V'Arts Leisamti. See, he says, Bishleim, according to Ma'anama, that says, that what does Brisi mean, the Bris of Torah? Rabbi Loza, and Daflam Beis Amad Aleph, so I understand why the Pasuk refers to it as Brisi Yoim V'Layla. Because Torah is a mitzvah that you have to do Yoim HaValayla. V'hagisabai Yoim HaValayla. But according to the Tana, the Mishnah, that holds that the Brisi of this Pasuk is referring to Bris Mila, so why is the Bris referred to as Emloi Brisi Yoim HaValayla? It's not Yoim HaValayla. It's a mitzvah that you do one time by day, by the way. So why is it referred to as Imloy Berisi Yoim HaValayla? So Rabbi Kiveger says that the Tosfos Yontif already asked this question, and the Tosfos Yontif said that the Tana of the Mishnah is going to learn the pasuk like this: Imloy Berisi, were it not for Berisi, which is Bris Mila, then Yoim HaValayla Chukai Shamayim Va'aretz Loisamti. Meaning Yoim HaValayla is not defining the Bris, but rather Yoim HaValayla is after the comma. It's the second part of the pasuk. Imloy Barisi, period. Imloy Bris Mila. Then Yoim HaValayla, Chukai Shemayim V'aretz Leisamti. But in the words of Rab Kiva Eger, V'hu Dachuk. He says it's very, very Dachuk in Pashu Pshat in the pasuk. So if that's the case, fake Rab Kiva Eger, what's Pshat in the Man Lama that holds that Imloy Barisi is referring to Bris Mila, that the Pasuk refers to it as Imloy Barisi Yoim HaValayla. So Rabbi Kiveger says that Venira Loimar, based on something that the Oilus Ephraim says in Maimer Shin Tzadik Beis. So the author of the Oilus Ephraim, of course, was the Klei Yoker. And in Oilus Ephraim, Maimer Shin Tzadik Beis, he's Mayrich about the Inyan of Bris Mila, and he says a Yesoid. He says that every boy is born with an Arla Sagof. That Arla Saguf is really indicative of a Pnimius Diga Arla that the child is born with as well. And that Arla is in his leiv. It's a Timtum HaLev. When a child gets Bris Mila, he removes the Arla Saguf, and by removing the Arla Saguf, he also removes the Arla HaLev. So a person is born with an Arla Saguf, he's born with an Arla Salev. The way to surgically remove the Arla Salev is by surgically removing the Arla Saguf. By removing the Arla Saguf, that person removes the Arla Salev. Dailas Ephraim says that if a person would not remove his Arlas Aguf. He would remain with his Arlas Alev, and the Arlas Alev would be metamtem his slave on such a level that it would be impossible for him to learn Torah and for him to be able to comprehend all the Soidas and the Dvar Hashem, because the Arlas Alev would get in the way. By doing Bris Milah, he removes the Arlas Aguf, and by removing the Arlas Aguf, he also, Lu'umazeh, removes the Arlas Alev. So Zok Reb Kiva Eger, it's Mavur in the Arlas Ephraim, that there's two dinim in Milah. Milah is a mitzvah, that's Pashat. But in the world of Pnimiyas HaTorah, what Milah does is, it's a mavoi. That's the Lashon of Reb Kiva Eger. It's a mavoi, it's a gateway. It's a hechatimtza for a person to be able to suddenly comprehend Torah, and for a person to be able to learn and grow in his Avodas Hashem. So Zok Reb Kiva Eger, you want to know why Brisi, Bris Milah is referred to Yom of Alayla, not else the Maisa Mitzvah of Milah. The Maisa Mitzvah of Milah is Chad Pami, and it's by Yom V'loy B'layla. But the reason the Mitzvah Bris Milah is referred to as Yom of Alayla is because Bris Milah facilitates. It's what allows a person to be able to learn Torah Yom of Alayla. It's only because of Bris Milah that he removes the Arlas Alev, and now he's Shaykh to be able to sin and learn V'gisa B'Yom of Alayla. So says Rabbi Kiva Eger, that's why even the Mandama that holds that Imloy Barisi brings Bris Milah, it's still Bris Yoima Velaila. It's Yoima Velaila because it's a mavoi to the Yid's Avoidus Hashem, which is an Avoidus Hashem of Yoima Velaila. And then Reb Kiva Eger says an incredible punchline. He says a gewaldig chiddush la'alacha. He says, Lefize Yesh Loima. We all know the Mishnah. The Mishnah Mesechtes Kedushin Daf Chof Tesamar Aleph. The Mishnah discusses mitzvahs of Ava Laben, different mitzvahs that every father is obligated to do for his son. And one of the mitzvahs is Chayiv Lamoiloi. A father has an obligation to make sure that his son is going to have Bris Milah. The Gemara says, what happens if the father didn't do Bris Milah? What if, Rachman al-Etzlan, there is no father? Says the Gemara, V'heichat lo'y malei avua, mechayvi beidin alim malei. Bezdin would have an obligation to go and to do Bris Milah. What if Bezdin didn't do it? Mechayiv iu l'mimel nafshe. He's going to have an obligation to do the Bris Milah by himself. So Rav Kiveger says, I want to say a chiddush. I want to say that although the Gemara says that it's the father's obligation, and if the father doesn't do it, who goes next? Bezdin. And then if Bezdin didn't do it, you wait until the child is bar mitzvah, and then he has a chiyuv to do it himself. Yesh loymar that a zeda has a specific chiyuv to make sure that his child is gonna, his enokel is gonna have Bris Milah. Why? Because a zeda has a chiyuv in Talmud Torah. Because the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not only the father, but it's the zeda as well. And because the zeda has a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and it would be impossible for the child to be able to learn Torah without Bris Milah, so mitzad the hilchis Talmud Torah of the zeda, he would have a chiyuv to give him a Bris Milah. It's not a chiyuv in hilchis Milah. It's a chiyuv in hilchis Talmud Torah. Mitzad hilchis Talmud Torah, he would be obligated to make sure that he's going to have a Bris Milah. That was Reb Kivega's Chiddush. That even though the Gemara doesn't say anything about a Zayda, that's because the Gemara is handling Mitzad Hilchas Milah. But Be'etzem, a Zayda would have a Chiyuv Mitzad Hilchas Talmud Torah. If he has an obligation to make sure that his Enochel is steiging, he has to give him Bris Milah because of the Oilus Ephraim, because he has to make sure that he's going to remove his Oilus Alev. So this is Reb Kiva Eger, who's been Mitzayan and Oilus Ephraim in the world of Pnimiyas HaTorah, to say a massive Chiddush La'alacha. Half of a fellow. The Derech Agav, the Oilus Ephraim, in this shtickle, in my Mashin Tzadik Beis. So he talks a lot about the Inyan of Milah, and Toich Dvarv, he says something nifla. He says that the Gemara in Mesechta Sanhedrin says that we know Bnei Noach Achayiv and Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, and the Gemara there brings the Pasuk for all the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. And the Pasuk's an interesting Pasuk. It says, Vayetzav Hashem Alekim Alo Odom Leimor Mikol Eitz Hagon Ochel Toichel. That's the Makar to the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, and the Gemara darshens it. The Gemara says, the word Leimor means Arayos. Arayos is one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Where do you see it in this Pasuk? Vayetzav Hashem Alekim Alo Odom Leimor. Leimor means Gili Arayos. And says the Oilus Ephraim, that if you think about it, it's mamish apella. What does lemar have to do with Gilei Arayos? Umedrash ze tamua. And it's not a medrash, it's a gemara. Ma inyan lemar eitzel Gilei Arayos. What shaychus does the word lemar have to do with Gilei Arayos? Says the Oilus Ephraim, we know that we say by Bris Milah, sosa noichi al imrasecha kemoitzei shalol rav. Imrasecha is referring to bris milah. Sasa noichi alim rasecha. It's the amira yechida, but sasa noichi alim rasecha is bris milah. What's the idea of bris milah? The Rambam says in the Moira that the tachas of bris milah is to be memayit taivas hamishkol. It's to be memayit the taiva of Gilei Arayis. So the word imrosecha means milah, and the word imrosecha then means miut of Gilei Arayis. It's vayitzav Hashem alekim ala adam lemar zu Gilei Arayis lemar from the shoyrish of Amira, which is Sasa Noich Alim Rasecha, which is Mila, which is Lemay Taivas Hamishkol, Alkein Omru, Lemer Zugli Arayis, Ratzoloimar, Shaloyechte Ben Mila, Shenitna Ba Amira, Vazlo Yavali De Gili Arayis, which reminded me of another Eulis Ephraim. And that is the Pasuk says, Ki Higdalto Al Kol Shimcha Im Rasecha. Ki Higdalto Al Kol Shimcha Im Rasecha. So the Eulis Ephraim said, that what does it mean, Ki Higdalto Al Kol Shimcha Im Rasecha? So he said that the Pasuk says, Loi Bashamayim Hilemor, Mi Yale Lonu Hashamaymo, Mi Yikachel Lonu, Vyashmienu Oisa Venaseo. So it's Yodua, the Svarim HaKadoshim say that the words, Mi Yale Lonu Hashamaymo, are Rosh Hatevis Milo. Mi is Mem, Yale is Yud, Lanu is Lamed, Hashemayim is Hey. It's Rosh Hatevis Milo. But Arizal said that the words Mi Yale Lanu Hashemayim are also Soifei Tevois, Yud Ke Vav Ke. Mem Yud, Yale ends with a Hey, Lanu ends with a Vav, and Hashemayim ends with a Hey. It's Rosh Hatevis Milo, and it's Soifei Tevois Havaya. So Eulis Ephraim said, Ki Higdalto Al Kol Shimcha Imrosecha. What's Imrosecha? Sosa noichi al Imrosecha. It's bris milah. Lemar zu Gilei Arayis. Bris milah. Bris milah is Imrosecha. The Rosh Hatevis of the word Miyalolano Hashemayimo is Milo. The Soifei Tevis of the word is Havaya. Ki Higdalto al Kol Shimcha Imrosecha. Imrosecha is more than Kol Shimcha. Because Kol Shimcha, which is Havaya, that's Soifei Tevis. Miyalolano Hashemayimo. Or Imrosecha, which is Milo, that's Rosh Hatevis. Miyalolano Hashemayimo. That's Ki Higdalto al Kol Shimcha Imrosecha. Again, this is from the Halakha Eulis Ephraim. But the bottom line is this is the Yesod of the Eulis Ephraim. The Yesod of the Eulis Ephraim is that every child is born with an arla. There's a mitzvah to do bris milah, which is to remove the arla. It's a mitzvah like every other mitzvah. But in the world of Pnimiyas HaTorah, the mitzvah of milah is such an important mitzvah. The mitzvah of milah is what allows this child now to be able to open up his mind, for him to be able to be mistabik to the Dvar Hashem, for him to be able to come to Hasogas and Ruchnias. It's something that's only shaykh through bris milah, because the Arlos Hachitzoini gets when it gets removed, it removes the Arlos Pnimi as well. And that's what Kivega said, that's why bris milah is referred to in Loi Baris and Yoim of Alaylo, Chuka Shemayim Va'aretz Loi Samti. I once thought that maybe with this Arlos Ephraim, you could be Miyashev. Very interesting Avudram. The Avudram discusses what's the makar. He says, what's the makar to a Sudas Bris? Right? Sudas Bris Milo. So he says, what's the makar to a Sudas Bris Milo? So he says, V'chei no'agu lasu yisuda b'yem ha'milo, v'yesh smach lo zeh b'medrash. Sha'oyme v'yasa avram mishta god b'yoyim higomel lesi Yitzchak. Higomel means b'yoyim hei gimel mo lesi Yitzchak. And you see, he made a mishta, so this is the makar that you're supposed to make a suda. And then he brings the Gemara Ksubas Tavches, where the Gemara has a discussion whether you should say Sha'a Simcha b'ma'inoi by a bris milah. The Gemara says no, because ikut tzara di yinuka, because the child is in pain. Says the Avudram, from the discussion of the Gemara, it sounds like for sure there was a suda. The Shaila only is whether you should say Sha'a Simcha b'ma'inoi. So this is a makar that you should say that there's an Indian to make a suda's bris milah. Then the Avudram says as follows, Upirit Rav Moshe Kayin. He brings in the name of Rav Moshe Kayin. Shnatam bozeh. That the reason there's an Indian to make a suda by bris milah is Shakadosh Baruch Hu chafetz kefi hayoy shar koiches hanefesh nimshachos v'negroros achar hanefesh hamaskeles ba'asliyas hamitzvah b'drishas hachochma sheyir lahem chelik besimcha asher tagia lenefesh hamaskeles ba'asoyis hamitzvah oy ba'agia lachochma. He's saying something very deep. But I think what he's saying is that really, when a yid does an aveira, he does it with the guf. When a yid does an neshama, does a mitzvah, he does it with the neshama. But the emes says, even when a yid does a mitzvah, the guf is nimshach, achar, his nefesh. You have to overcome your taivas that maybe were getting in the way from you doing the mitzvah. The guf spielt a role in a mitzvah. And therefore, when you celebrate a mitzvah, the guf has to partake. So how do you give the guf a chelik of the mitzvah? The neshama has a tiny gruchni from the mitzvah. Oh, but the guf doesn't have a tiny gruchni. He doesn't know how to have a tiny gruchni. He knows how to have a tiny gufni. So you know what you do? You make a suda and you give him a tiny gufni. L'chayre Moshe HaKohen saying something along these lines. And then he said, very mysteriously, V'chein amru chazal, kin kishom HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shlomim v'chaloyim alayla. When the Eibishter came to Shlomim in a dream, and he said, Shal ma'atin loch, right? Ask me any question, I'll give it to you. So what Shlomim HaMelech asked, he didn't ask for COVID, he didn't ask for Ashiris, he asked for Chochmah. He asked for Chochmah. So what happened? Va'ikat Shlomoy v'hinei chaloyim, v'yas mishter l'chol avotov, v'amru chazal, mikan she'oysen sudu l'gam mishol Torah. This is the makar that you're supposed to make a siyam. And if you're supposed to make a siyam, so too you're supposed to make a sudas bris mila. And I always thought this avudram is a shtickle sisrei Torah. Meaning, Pashup Shah, what he's saying is, you see there's an inyan that when you're doing something with your nefesh, you're doing a mitzvah, you still, the goof is supposed to play a role. But such an interesting tushta. Maybe there's something tiefer over here. You know, the Welt says, Shlomo HaMelech made a siyum. What kind of siyum did he make? At Garnish Galant. A siyum is a celebration for what you did. You pound through 120 dafin in your vamis, right? You celebrate. You learn something. You want to make a siyum. But what did Shlomo HaMelech do? He had a dream. In the dream, the Eibishter came to him. He made a very wise decision. And all of a sudden, he has everything. And for that, Oysen Suda Legam Mishal Torah. So I heard this, B'Shem, Rab David Heksher, Zeichat Tzadik Levrach, he was Rosh Shivan Kol Torah, he used to give Shmuz in the Torah Tamimah. But it's you do in the name of all the Balei Musar and the Mashkichim and the Svarim, they say that when a Yid makes a Siyim, what's the celebration? Yeah, you're celebrating the Avar. You're celebrating what you did in the past, for sure. But Yidden don't really look backwards. We always look forward. And really the celebration is, I just finished learning Masechtas Yevamos. When I start Ksubas Dav Beis, it's going to be an under Ksubas Dav Beis. Because I already have the background of just having gone through 120 hard daf and saved the Noshim. The Siyum, the Suda Legamri Shal Torah, is a celebration on the Avar, but the Iker, it's a celebration on the Asid. That moving forward, when I'm going to learn, it's going to be an under learning. It's going to be done qualitatively on a much higher level because of everything that I was able to do in the past. Is Yesh Loimar, the Suda of Gamri Shal Torah is mamish the Suda's Bris Mila. The Suda's Bris Mila, it's a Suda, yeah, you just did a mitzvah. Oh, but Oilas Ephraim was Megalatas, and Reb Kivega, the way he was Masberit, that really, there's two inyanim in Bris Mila. And in Bris Mila, you're celebrating a mitzvah, but what you're also doing is it's a mavui for your Avodas Hashem. That's exactly Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech has a dream, he wakes up all of a sudden, it was niftach loy all the tzinoiris. You know what he did? He made a Suda. Reb Moshe HaKohen says, that's exactly what we do by Bris Mila. By Bris Mila, right now, we just removed the Erlus Alev of this child. This child now is going to be able to learn. We once mentioned from the Ishbitzer, Dover Tzival Elef Dar Zumila, that Bris Mila gives a Yid a thousand dairis worth of ruchnias. He said if a person would try to achieve the ruchnias of Bris Mila on his own, it would take him 1,000 dairis. Dover Tzival Elef Dar Zumila, something that's throughout the Chassidus Shesvarim. But the point is that what's the idea of Sudas Tzium? It's a celebration for the possibilities, for the potential, for what you're going to be able to do moving forward. That's exactly what the Suda's bris is. Lefi the Oilas Ephraim. And that's the Oimik, maybe, in Rav Moshe HaKohen. It's not just a Mashal Ba'alma, but it could be there's a Shaychis, I'll pi drush anyways, between the Mashal and the Nimshal. But I'll kopon him. Lefi ze yesh loimar, that's also the Oimik in the Chassam Sofer's Remnas. The Chassam Sofer said that Yeshua ben Nun was nar, lo yomish mitoicha oil. Zog the Chassam Sofer, lo yomish mitoicha oil is Rosh Hatevis Mila. What shaykhis between Mila and the words lo yomish mitoicha oil? We explain maybe why the Remnas is in Parshas Kisisa. Because Parshas Kisisa was the Chet Egel, and this was the Siba. Why ultimately lo yomish mitoicha oil, why Yeshua ben Nun was going to be the mail, like we learned in today's daf. But why those words? What's the shaychis? What's the pnimi between the words lo yomish mitoicha oil and the words mila? The teretz is it's this Rav Kiva Eger. It's this oilless Ephraim. Mila is imloy berisi yoimam v'layla. Why? Because through mila yid comes to v'hagisa b'yoimam v'layla. The oilless Ephraim. Mila brings a person to lo yomish mitoicha oil. It's the mavli to yoimam v'layla. That's why it's called Brisi Yoimah Valayla. That's why maybe not B'mikra, the remes to Mila was in the words La Yamash Mitaycha Ayah.